Welcome to It Takes a Village, a Gaggle podcast. Listen in as we dive into education topics, speak with industry leaders, and share the latest updates from Gaggle. My name is Paget Hetherington. I'm the Vice President of Marketing here at Gaggle, and today I'm joined by Casey Lee, the Chief Technology Officer for Gaggle, and Justin West, Gaggle's Director of Information Technology. We're going to delve into how the past year has affected Gaggle's technology infrastructure, how we were impacted, how we responded, and how we scaled. So, without further ado, I will hand it over to you, Casey.
All right, thank you, Paget. Great to be here with Justin talking about the work we're doing here at Gaggle. So, first question for you, Justin. How did the distance learning and the impact that COVID had on education in general impact our systems at Gaggle last spring? What kind of impact did that have to us?
Oh, it was no impact at all. It was all super fine. Everything went great. We didn't have to make any changes. No, I mean, it took us by surprise. I mean, this is one of the things that, you know, you try to plan for as much as you can, right? And this was an event that affected everyone in the country and did so very rapidly and in some pretty big ways. The metric that I most commonly use to highlight how much this impacted us is that we saw a 600% year-over-year increase in traffic from, say, January 2019 to that same time frame in 2020, 600% increase in traffic year-over-year.
So traffic, this is email messages, this is...
Right, this is all-encompassing, right? All of our products, basically all of the data coming into our systems, it increased by 600%. It was impressive. So this meant millions more messages that we're processing per day for all of our schools as they transitioned to a distance learning model, and in turn leaned on our technology a lot more. So our stuff really got put through its paces, as did the team here at Gaggle, frankly.
Well, what was this like overnight? We came in Monday and boom, there was this wave of traffic. Did it trickle over a few weeks? How did that play out?
That's a good question. It felt that way. It absolutely did. If I were to go back and look at the graphs, it probably took a very steep climb over a period of maybe 3 weeks to a month or so as more and more schools started transitioning to that distance mm-hmm. learning model. So it ramped up very, very quickly.
Was there any specific incident during that springtime that you remember? Any specific fire that was being fought?
You know, it's interesting. The event that comes to my mind is one that actually happened prior to COVID, that happened sort of at the end of 2019, which at the time felt like it was something that we had to scramble to solve for. But in retrospect, I'm very glad that it happened. Specifically, Google started storing data for the Google Classroom product on Google Drive, which they hadn't done previously. So, and they did this in a very, I don't want to say secretive, but they did it in a non-transparent way so that no one was really aware that this change was coming. It didn't show up on their roadmaps, that kind of stuff. They pilot things that way quite often. So the byproduct of this is we have an archiving product, and that product started ingesting a lot more stuff than it normally did. And so it caused our team to have to make some changes to the way that our infrastructure works, the way we process items for customers, that ultimately did us a service when COVID actually came around by making that a lot easier than it would have been otherwise. During COVID itself, it's all a blur. There's not one specific event I can point to, unfortunately.
And I suppose part of the challenge was there wasn't clarity on, is this the way it is for the long haul? Like at the beginning, we were just thinking, okay, is this temporary closure and then things will go back to normal? At what point were you like, no, this is it. We need to now buckle up and this is the new normal.
A few weeks in, we started, when we kept seeing every time that we thought we would hit a plateau, right? Okay, this is probably where we're going to land. There came a point at which we just decided we didn't know, really, is the answer to that question. Like we honestly don't know where this road ends And interestingly, even at the end of the school year, we still didn't get to that point. Mm-hmm. So yeah. while school districts kind of drew to a close, things started following their natural downward trend going into April, May. COVID was ramping up. So we ended the school year wishing that we'd had a bigger sample size to guide the changes that we knew we needed to make during the summer to prepare for the next school year. So we knew that we had a lot of work ahead of us, but we wished we had more data to drive the changes that we knew that we needed to make. So I wouldn't call it guesswork. We still had a lot of data to work off of, but we wished we had more. That's for sure.
Well, still awesome that you and the team were able to weather the storm and still protect our students at the time they really needed it most, when traffic was at its highest and where they were on those platforms. Can you tell me, how else did COVID affect Gaggle? Was there other ways other than directly on the platform that COVID impacted us?
Like any company, really, like most, if not all companies in the US, we had to transition to a fully remote mode of work. Gaggle, I think, was exceptionally well positioned for that, since we already had, I would estimate, 60% or more of our employee base that was working remotely. But even so, I mean, it was still a challenge for some of our employees to transition to when they hadn't been used to it before. And we had some work that we needed to do on our side in regards to the tools that we use, which had really been implemented and designed for a more centralized office-based approach for those folks, in sort of a hub and spoke design for the folks that were remote. So it meant that we needed to look at those tools, things like our call center platform, to make sure that they were more highly available, generally more modern. We looked at our CRM platform. This is a tool we use to guide our customer relationships and store information on them, and came to the conclusion that we needed to modernize and change that as well. So we transitioned over to Salesforce, and we're in the final stages of that transition right now. Even our ERP system, which our finance team uses to provide process invoices, do general accounting, things like this. So we took this as an opportunity to take a step back and use it to our advantage, going, look, this is a transition. Let's use this period of transition to make some big, important changes to allow Gaggle to continue to scale and support our students as best we could.
I guess when you shut down a building and your phone system's in that building, then you have to answer the question, well, where's our phone system? And so this was a project you just finished. You want to tell us about that?
That's a project that was in the making for a while. Yeah, we moved over to, I don't mind saying, we moved over to 8x8. This is a system that I'd had some experience with prior, but we evaluated a couple of different systems, came to the conclusion that this was going to fit our needs quite well. I worked with a lot of different team members here at Gaggle on all the different teams that support our customers, sales, customer support. The safety team had a big role in this. And we did a lot of testing and evaluation to decide, okay, this is what we're going to do. So over a period of about 3 months, I worked with those teams to develop that, to get us to a place where we felt comfortable doing that cutover. And we just finished that last week, as a matter of fact, and it went exceedingly smoothly. There have been no issues. Call quality's been better, I'm hearing, for the calls that we're having with our customers. It's helped streamline the tools that we use internally to communicate with each other. So that's actually been a big win for us.
So great forcing function for us to modernize some of this stuff. We're on the other side of that. That's awesome to hear. Now, Justin, there was a blog post that you put out over the summer with all the work that you and the team were doing to prepare for the back to school. Can you talk about that a bit? What type of work was done? Maybe expand on what was in that blog and what your strategy was over the summer to prepare us.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said before, there was a bit of uncertainty because we weren't sure what the trajectory of COVID would look like. we weren't sure, specifically, we weren't sure how many of what percentage of our customer base had transitioned to that distance learning model by the end of the last school year. Was it 20%? Was it 40%? And in retrospect, I wish we'd have done a little bit more digging on that. I think we probably could have maybe done some polling for our customers and get a better sense of that number. But that led to us knowing we had a lot of work to do to stabilize or make sure that our system stayed stable for our customers once the bell rang on that new year. And I identified a couple of key areas where I felt we needed to focus, specifically with optimization, which meant tuning our systems to process that data we talked about more efficiently. Another point was scaling, making sure that our infrastructure scaled automatically based upon the usage that occurs at any given point in time. Modernizing things, meaning better tooling, better monitoring tools to give us better visibility into the health of our various systems. Even retooling and reinventing the environments themselves. So the actual environments that our developers use to create and iterate upon the software that our customers use and our internal folks use, and creating more reliable, continuous delivery pipelines to make that better for everyone. And then the last bullet point I highlighted was expansion, meaning in some cases, more stuff. We have this amount of stuff and we feel like it's limited in some ways and we need to expand upon it. More mail servers to process messages that come in and send them along our way to our customers, because not every component of the infrastructure is scalable like I talked about before. A lot of it is, but a lot of it's not. We still have some work to do. I think there's still some components of our infrastructure that don't scale that way in an automatic fashion. And we have conversations ongoing on how we can address that and modernize those things. But we knew that before we get there, we needed to add more services just to handle the capacity that was going to get thrown at us.
What I love about what the team did here was some of it was, yeah, let's just throw money at it and rack more gear. But some of it was also very, very intentional engineering, where we looked at the team found certain bottlenecks, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think in some areas we actually reduced our overall utilization just by changing the way mail flows or things of that nature. That the team was again forced into, okay, we need to make sure we're ready for back to school. Find those bottlenecks and not just, the answer was not just throw money at it. The answer in a lot of cases was intentional engineering.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I have to take a brief aside and note though, like throw money at it. You say that, and I think you're being tongue in cheek, but it's in reality, I got to give credit to the leadership team here at Gaggle for recognizing that what I just talked about, that uncertainty, they recognized that there was some of that, right? So my team, you and I work together, my teams and I work together to really identify that this is what we need to do. And I've been in some places in the past where even if a challenge had been identified, it was still difficult to get the resources allocated to that project. And there was none of that here. There was a freedom to solve for the challenges for the next school year, with safety being the thing we were most concerned about. Wasn't the price tag on servers that we were worried about. It was saving lives at the end of the day. You can't put a price tag on that, right?
That comes back to the overall, the mission that we can't cut corners on this. At the end of the day, students need us more than ever right now. We need to make sure the systems are there. And I look at the numbers. I'm looking at this school year. We're not even halfway through the school year. And the number of lives saved is up 65% year over year. The number of PSSs is up 45%, potential student safety up 45%. And the amount of items that are being not just ingested, but then flagged and submitted for review, our emails are up 97%, files are up 120%, chats up 1,000% year over year from the last time. So I think the good news is that what you and the team did worked well. Like we're keeping up with this load. We're protecting the students. But was there was there things that didn't work so well? Was there any lessons learned from the whole process that it would be good to share?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm happy that we, you know, the culmination of all of the work that we did over the summer and led to us having a very smooth start to the school year. Things performed exactly as we would have hoped, right? We didn't see delays in delivering mail to our customers. We didn't see any delays in us identifying potential safety situations. Those things worked really well. But as with any case like this or any scenario like this, you know, I always try to approach it from that, just that standpoint. What could we learn? What could we do better? Because there's always something, right? I always like to say that even an outage, there's a silver lining to that. The right question to ask is, what could we do better? What lessons did we learn from this, right? For what worked, there was a lot of stuff that worked really well, but for things that didn't work that well, you know, you kind of alluded to it before. We changed one of the things that we changed over the summer was how we process mail that's outbound going to our customers. We had been using a native mail sending technology that was part of another piece of the software on the back end. We moved to a dedicated piece of technology that all this does is just slurp up mail and send it along its way. That's all it does. And we knew that was going to be efficient for us. And we'd done some testing to give us a sense of how efficient it would be. It proved to be far more efficient than we had even guessed. And so as a result of that, some of the other work that we had done to scale up the servers ended up being, while it was instrumental for a time, in the long run, it proved to be, maybe the answer is we spent a little too much time on that. Maybe we should have prioritized that technology, changing the way mail is sent out, a long time ago. Maybe we should have done that. So the lesson, the takeaway was, what other things are like that out there? What other ways can we improve how efficient we are at processing things and supporting our customers that maybe we haven't prioritized as well as we should have?
I guess that's the old belt and suspenders analogy. So you wanted to make sure that you weren't putting all your eggs in one basket. You had multiple things, initiatives that you were leading with the team that made sure that at the end of the day, we're ultimately hitting our goal. But from what when you look back, you're like, well, hindsight 2020, if we would have just focused on this one thing, we wouldn't have had to do everything else. But
yeah, I wouldn't say it was like a kitchen sink approach in the summer. It wasn't quite that. It was much more targeted than that, right? I mean, we have an abundance of metrics that we can use at any given point in time to see how system A, B, or C is functioning, how well oiled is the machine. And we use that to guide us to the changes that we made, which is another lesson learned, right? There was some improvement on some of that as well, which we provided some tools to our internal folks here to give them some visibility that they hadn't had before, which was great. And we're going to keep doing that. We're going to keep providing that visibility and we'll even pass that along to our customers in some ways.
So I suppose one area that we're also looking at, you touched on this a little bit, is the opportunity to look at more elastic scaling so that we can adjust the resources that we've allocated dynamically throughout the day based on demand. And also when spikes like this show up, that we're able to quickly scale up or scale down. Can you talk a little bit about what we learned in that area?
Absolutely. So we at Gaggle, we have a hybrid environment, right? We have a physical data center out in Los Angeles, California, and we operate also out of Amazon services. And over the past few years, we've been in the process of transitioning over to Amazon Web Services so that we're now at the point where the vast majority of what's happening in terms of the processing actually occurs in AWS. In order to really get to the point where we are as scalable as we should be, so that let's say if we see a sudden spike of 600%, that number we're talking about, come in overnight, we don't have to think about it. We don't have to get woken up in the middle of the night to address that. We're not scrambling to talk about adding servers. That's a process that happens automatically for us. And in order to do that, we really need, there are some systems that we still need to migrate over to AWS to facilitate that kind of automation. There's a lot of tools out there. AWS is always doing really exciting things. And innovation is actually core to our operation here at Gaggle. I mean, it's a core value that we embody and champion day to day here. So we've got some exciting projects happening right now to look at how we can introduce scaling into elements of our environment right now that aren't scalable. And the right answer to that is most likely that those elements move over to AWS, where we can leverage the cloud to our advantage and provide not just scaling, but also increased reliability, because we're relying upon AWS's 12 nines of reliability that they offer in some areas. It's exciting. I think there's a lot of really great stuff in store, not just in the long term. This is happening over the next year, 2 years. I see a lot of really good things happening.
It's awesome. Well, very exciting stuff. And we're always looking for new engineers to come on board and help us with these things. So if you're listening to this and you're looking for an opportunity to work with a great team, large technical challenges, and solving problems that ultimately help save lives, reach out to Justin or myself. I'd love to tell you more about what we're doing here at Gaggle. Well, Justin, thank you so much for walking us through all the work that you and the team have been doing. Great job weathering the storm, getting us in a better place, and very excited to see what's ahead with the future innovation that the teams work on.
I appreciate the time. This is a great conversation. I appreciate it. And yeah, absolutely exciting times here. I'm really looking forward to what's in store.
Thank you so much, Justin and Casey, for your time today. You can find the blog post that Justin mentioned at gaggle.net. So thanks for listening in, and join us for other podcasts from Gaggle's It Takes a Village podcast series. Thank you very much.